If you have a Bible with you or on the back Bible cart or on a phone or something, on a tablet, we're turning this morning the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read that in a few moments. I just want to introduce the sermon series. We're starting a new series of messages this summer on the life of Joseph. And the life of Joseph is an amazing story. And I'm really thankful that we get to do this sermon series together. John Lowe and I get to preach this series together. So we're going to be preaching from Joseph for the months of July and August. And we're encouraging you, of course, if you come on Sunday mornings to follow along, but also during the week. So in the e-news, if it hasn't started yet, it'll start very soon, kind of weekly readings. I want to encourage you to go through, if you're here or not, especially if you're not here for a Sunday, either you on your own or with some other people, read through a chapter or two of the Joseph story and just read it through with us this summer. We can't preach on every chapter, but we're going to try and preach on a number of chapters, a number of themes in the Joseph story. So I'm very thankful, still thankful that John Lowe and Amy and their children are here this summer with us as our summer interns. I'm thankful for all the work they're doing in the church community. And this morning, I'm particularly thankful that John Lowe is preaching. Because even as I started singing this morning, I realized my voice is not 100%. So Friday night, we were playing some soccer with a few people from the church. And I realized, even I saw the pictures afterwards, I realized I'm not the best soccer player. But I still got my voice. I can still yell at people. So mostly words of encouragement, sometimes trying to distract them. You know, I'm not on your team, but hey, give me the ball. Didn't quite usually work, but anyhow. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful that John Lowe's preaching this morning and I can save my voice. But three reasons why we're preaching from Joseph this summer. One reason, I've already said, it's a great story in the Bible. It's a great story for us to know. I'm hoping we're going to find ourselves in the story. I'm also hoping, secondly, we're going to find Jesus in the story. It's one of those stories in the Bible that if we can understand it, we get to understand the life of Jesus better and the ministry person of Jesus. And thirdly, it just kind of worked out. I realized after we had picked the story that the VBS later on this summer is using the same story. So I would call that the providence of God. We talked about Joseph and all of a sudden, oh yeah, VBS is also doing a week-long kids camp on the Joseph story at the end of August. So for me, it helps me and hopefully some of us get ready for VBS. So I'm going to pray. Then Julia is going to come up and read the story for us from Genesis 37, the first few verses, or I think verse 11 verses. And after Julia reads, then John Lowe will come and bring the morning message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can gather this morning on this long weekend. You give us glorious sunshine, O Lord. You give us each other, but you also give us most preciously your word. So we ask for hearts that will hear. And for those of us who are maybe slumbering in some way, whether physically or spiritually, we're not really all that interested, O Lord. We ask that in a special way you would help us to hear the words read and hear the words spoken, that the words would speak to us, not just words on a page, but words that come off the page and enter our hearts, enter our lives. We might hear them and believe them and receive them. And in some small way, O Lord, by your Spirit's help, also live them out. So bless Julia as she reads and bless John Lowe as he brings the word this morning to us through the sermon and the message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Julia, if you'd come and read.
Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his fathers as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to you, to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
Good morning, everyone. So, I feel very thankful to all of you. Because of you, I have such an opportunity to share some message from the words of the Lord. Actually, I have left the church for 2 years, so it's so fast. So the book of Genesis actually is my favorite book. I really love this book. Maybe this morning, it's also for you, it's a favorite book. So when I read Genesis, I find it's just like a movie. It's full of life and full of conflict, very vivid. So the book of Genesis actually is structured around 10 stories or accounts. This word in Hebrew is called telados. So this word Hebrew, in Genesis it is used 10 times. So the first story it's about the heavens and the earth. The last one is the story of Jacob. Actually, the story of his son Joseph. This is the final story, and also is the climax of the whole book. Today we are looking at Genesis 17:37-11. So in this introduction of the story, we read about Joseph, the dreamer, and his brother who hate him. The question I'm wondering about this story is, are the brothers of Joseph bad guys? The Bible says, now Israel, the father, or another name for Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of the other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him. So this kind of favoritism of a parent stirs hatred among the other sons. The author tells us three other happenings here. It makes this tension in the family worse and worse. The first one is the bad report Joseph made to his father about his brothers. These brothers were born by his father's, Jacob's, concubines, not the former wives. But Israel made him an ornate robe, a rainbow, colorful, beautiful coat. Secondly, the other sons, they usually wore the regular shepherd clothes and smell of sheep. But this guy, Joseph, he always wore the beautiful rainbow colorful robe to show his privilege. As the text suggests that they hate him. They hate him so much, so that they couldn't talk to him, speak to him peacefully, even one word. Thirdly, to make this worst, Joseph had two dreams. In verse 5 and verse 8, the scripture repeat the same word. They hate him all the more. That means their hate in their heart increase. When I read the ESV Bible Pastor Yu lent to me, I read the remark. He remarked just beside the passage, hate, hate, hate. In the second dream, this teenager dreamer seems to go too far. Even his father, Jacob, become unpleasant and rebuked to him. What is this dream you have? Will your mother and I and your brother actually bow down to the ground before you? His brother becomes jealous of him. Jealous. So this word is not so exact. In the original text, the Hebrew word is kina. Kina means a very deep, evil emotion. That means they hate him very much. They are ready to do any violent action to revenge. That means they are totally ready to do something to hurt him or even kill him. Joseph's brother was not loved as much as Joseph. So they have all worked many years for their brother. But after years of hard work, they had to listen to their younger brother. So Joseph here is kind of a supervisor. And also had dreams. He tells his brother, "Hi guys, you know what I'm waiting for you in the future? You're gonna all bow down to my power. If it's you, what's your feeling? Wouldn't you be very mad about this?" When I think of this, I don't think his brothers are antagonists. They're just regular, normal people, as you and me, as all of us. They're responding as any of us would respond to this dreamer. Joseph looks like a young man. He's proud, ambitious, spoiled, and also ego-expanded. And we are not sure why Joseph tells his brother this dream. Maybe due to innocence, or pride, or some kind of pleasure, or some other reasons. The Bible doesn't tell us. I think Joseph should have been wiser. He shouldn't share this dream with his brother. He knew his brother hated him, and this dream would make it worse. But because of he shared these dreams, isn't he responsible for his own fate? According to our common sense and the logic of Hollywood, he is, and he should be. He deserves what he created for himself. But this were not a regular novel or a Hollywood movie. It is the Bible. It is the holy book. It tells a story about God, his story. Actually, this is the true meaning of history, his story. What is God doing here? Through these sinful and nasty guys, none of them seems to me as a protagonist. What is God doing? Maybe this is a strange thing to ask, because in this story, in chapter 37, there's no mention of God, but mentions 12 times of Joseph. It's 12 times. None of God. It seems like a story, just like a family conflict lead to some tragedies. From the surface, from human perspectives, we see a father, a husband, favoritism. And as we see other family conflicts going on in this family, between the father and the sons, and also among the brothers themselves. But underneath this surface, there is another story. There is a true story. The director and the actor is God himself. When we read through the Bible, we know the result of the story. And we know clearly the two dreams are just revealing something happened in the future. The first dream is to represent his brothers meeting Joseph and bowing down to the ground before him. The second dream is Joseph meeting his father and his other family, and they all bow down to the ground before him. What about the tunic, the coat? When I check out this word in Hebrew, ketani, this word in Hebrew is ketani, it usually refers to a special robe. It's not a regular robe. So this robe is special for priest or for royal member. So this clothes actually identify Joseph as a priest and a king. When Joseph is talking about his dream, he's just playing a role as a prophet to telling something happening in the future. However, we may remember something about our Bible. Who else in the Bible is a prophet, king, and priest? Yes, it's our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, he is a priest, the highest priest. He sacrificed on behalf of all of us. He's the king of kings. He came to this world to proclaim the gospel, the kingdom of God, to reclaim the land, the sea, and the entire creation. He's a priest. He's a prophet. Jesus prophesies about our future life, our life in the kingdom of God. You're going to come together, live in communion fully with God. When Joseph tells his brother his dream, he's playing such a role. But this thought, the dream, are nothing, just his own imagination. It's his own self-magnification. Especially his brothers. They hate the dream. They hate him. They fear the dream coming true. They don't want to be alive like that. So they hate this spoiled baby brother. So they want to kill the dream. They want to kill the dreamer. In our lives, there are many times we are like this too. Even we know sometimes the revelation or something is from God, we still don't want to follow God. The revelation, the truthful revelation, not always pleasing. A lot of times make us feel angry. Most of the people here, so you knew about 2 years ago, I was called to Grand Rapids. I was very passionate. I drove there 4 days to study, to be equipped, to be a master of divinity. But last 2 years, a lot of times, because my wife, Amy, had been sick, almost all the time. So last March, Amy and I, we experienced really, really darkness there. Amy was cured of tuberculosis from the first year in 2015. But about 2 weeks later, she started internal bleeding. Her surgery of internal hemorrhoid was arranged in the beginning of February, last February. But because of some mistake, her pain was doubled or even tripled. She was crying day after day. For 6 weeks, I was very exhausted, very frustrated. I prayed, mostly complained. Sometimes I yelled to God, "Why, God? Isn't you called me here? Isn't you have been equipping me? Why don't you spare more time for me to study? I'm a student here. I should do reading and writing, sitting in the library quietly. But mostly you called me to do the routines. I spend time at home with my children, with my wife, because they need my care. I feel very angry. I don't like that. It's not a study. I feel God wants me to study. That's a message, that's a life." But later realized God called me and called me to be a servant. First, to be humble, to know the true faith, the love. I hate this kind of calling because I don't want to be a servant. I want to be a leader, a teacher. To be a student sometimes really make me struggle. Like that, a student. When we read Luke chapter 22, Jesus having a supper with his disciples. So there is a dispute going on among the disciples. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." Mark 10:45 states the mission of Jesus. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his own life as a ransom for many." As I read these verses, I find the Jesus I never knew. Maybe these verses, I could have read it many times, but I didn't really understand it. The youngest can be the greatest. The innocent can be truth. The powerful can be powerless. Coming back to the story of Joseph, why do the brothers of Joseph hate the dream? Mostly because they are servant in the dream, to serve the younger brother, the baby spoiled brother. They don't want to be like that. In this world, there are too many programs training us to be a leader. But when we read Bible internet, Jesus wants us to be trained being a servant to each other, to our family, to the community. Even Joseph's father, Jacob, disliked that. What is this dream you have? Will your mother and I and your brother actually bow down to the ground before you? Joseph, you are kids. You are nothing. Don't do that. We don't like that. What we see in this world, people love to lead, not to serve. It's not truth. In gospel, we see the truth usually is upside down. When King Herod exerted his power to kill all the infants under two, the sword, the soldier, the troop, they represent the power. The power, bloody power. But actually, he was the most powerless. How? He was great. He was a king. He can kill anybody if he wants. Actually, he was very powerless, according to history. He would die in agony and fear. Because of this agony and fear, he killed three of his wives. And also before he died, he executed his another son. Is this powerful? What is this power? Is the power to kill his own family, his wife and his sons? He just become a servant of the evil one. From time to time, we do this too. When we escape from God's revelation, we want to be the master of our life. We become the enemy of God. That is why our Lord says, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoer. Last Sunday, our brother and sister, David and Genevieve, they're talking about this verse. I never knew you. Away from me, evildoer. In this world, we are different because the King had been revealed to us. And the gospel had been revealed to all of us. Rather than the gospel of lies, we have the gospel of life. It is the gospel of servanthood rather than the gospel of leadership. Recently, I read a book. This book actually very encouraging to me when I was studying in Grand Rapids. The Cost of Discipleship, written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was killed by the Nazi in Germany. Before, 1 month before, Berlin was liberated by American troops. When he wrote this book, he was still in New York, in America. But in 1939, it was a hard time. A lot of people tried to run from Germany. But he was determined. He said, we are disciples of Jesus. We are called to sacrifice. He returned to Germany. In his book, it's very surprising. He said, cheap grace and costly grace. The cheap grace is just like something on sale in superstore. It's popular. It's a blessing. You want a blessing? Okay. We just want a blessing. We don't want pain, suffering. No, that's not for a Christian. We have a God Almighty. He serves us, serves all of us. But that's wrong. Because our grace is free, but never, never cheap. It's not cheap. It's not something on sale. It's costly. Why? Because our grace It's come together with the cross. What is the cross? The cross is shame. It's blood. It's death. It's pain. He said, most of times, your faith is found in the hardship, in the difficulty. It's not in easiness. At least, I found its truth. In hardness, the faith just can be dug in. In Micah 6:8, the prophet said, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. When I read this, I was really, really excited. We walk together with our God. If our Lord is so humble, how can we be proud living this life and to know our God? That's impossible. We are called to walk together with this God in humility, in our life, in our witness of His grace. Okay, as I invite the worship team, I invite all brothers and sisters to stand up. Let's pray to our Lord. Yes, Lord, give us strength to follow you, to lay down our pride, and be servant to each other. Lord, we don't want cheap grace, because the cheap grace is nothing but sheer lies. Grace is always free, but never cheap, because it is the grace purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to know you, Lord Jesus, because in you the true prophet, priest, and the king is the true life, true love, and the true light. May we be the salt and the light of this world to those close to us, to our brothers and sisters in church community, and then to all people we encountered. Almighty God, you are all-knowing. Before you, we have no secret. Because of this, times and times, we feel so unworthy before your grace. Thank you for you gave your only Son to save us from this curse of death. In your grace, the death has lost its authority on us, because you have disarmed this evil ruler. May you fill all of us, our heart, with the Holy Spirit. Let him lord our life every day, every moment. We pray this in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.